You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
It's Wednesday, so it's time for Wayne on Wednesday. And with me, as always, is Wayne McCurry from FNB Wealth and Investment in Johannesburg. Wayne, on top of everything else, there's a few things I want to point out, and you can comment on them or not, as you see fit. World Bank coming out with almost doomsday-like predictions about the world's economy. The OECD yes. came out with the same sort of thing, not quite as dramatic as the World Bank's was. Then I got a tweet from a gentleman in the United States of America who tracks things that I don't track, and he said that in the month of April, I think it was, credit card debt ballooned in the United States to the tune of $17.6 billion, I think it was, which is the second highest monthly rise in history. And the month before that, it was $25.6 billion, which was the highest ever in history. And his point was, and whether he knows what he's talking about or not, I don't know, but he said that what people are doing is they're using their credit card to pay for basics because of the horrific inflation numbers that we see in CPI, but also man and woman in the street are seeing at the stores. So there's a few things that have just caught my eye on top of everything else. Now, when people start talking like this, Wayne, maybe that's the end of it. It's all out in the open.
Yeah, look, I mean, just first of all, on the economic predictions.
Yes.
I mean, the revision downwards is of the biggest I've ever seen.
Yeah.
In one go. I mean, I don't know if it was the World Bank or the IMF that took the growth from 4.2 to 2.9%.
Yeah, the World Bank.
I mean, that's a very, World Bank's a very, very big drop. So, yeah, it is still growth, but clearly this is the issue that the whole world is faced with now, is this higher inflation and the oil price and food inflation and the effect that that will have on consumer expenditure and, more importantly for you and I, on the markets.
Yeah, and I don't know whether it's because it's a holiday period in the Northern Hemisphere at the moment, but the market doesn't seem to be taking it that badly, and that's what I really wondered. What I'm trying to get out of you, I think, is whether this has all been factored in. We've known about this for quite a while, and maybe inflation is getting to peak inflation. Maybe it is at the top of its cycle. But I'm not so sure so much, Wayne. I know you say next year it'll be down to, maybe even by the end of the year, down to 2.5%, 3%. But at the moment, it's stubbornly high. And I think the next CPI figure is going to be key in the United States, I think, in a couple of weeks' time.
Yes, I think that will be, because that will show the direction of inflation. But I suppose you could actually work it out now if you wanted to. You can just go and have a look at, you know, what food has done year on year and what the oil price has done year on year as to whether that's actually coming down or not, because those are the two main driving factors.
Yeah, it is very difficult for people that before were stretched. You know, you sit down with your monthly accounts and you say, okay, I've got to pay my rent or my mortgage. I've got this amount on food, this amount on health insurance, this amount on transport costs, and so it goes on. Because I hear stories, I mean, I watch programs, and sometimes they're sensationalised. But you know, like NHS workers in the UK, for example, working a 16-hour shift and then getting up the next morning and going to a food bank because they can't afford food, because they only earn £33,000 a year on average, a nurse, which isn't a lot for the amount of work that they do. So there's something going on. I don't know if it's going to topple governments or what's going to happen, but certainly if it carries on like this, there will be some sort of social unrest. And I don't mean social unrest in a violent physical way. I just mean people just getting fed up with it and voting out the current leaders.
Yes. I think that might be the case, because, I mean, no one's faced inflation like this worldwide for decades, literally. I mean, just coming back to the inflation story, oil inflation now year on year is 61%, but it's down from 120 at the last reading.
Yes.
And food inflation is up 20%, but it's down from 60 at the last reading. So the year-on-year numbers will probably be coming down. I mean, the numbers are still high, but they're well off their peaks.
Yeah, and your contention has always been that the oil price has got to go to 150 or something, or even higher in order to maintain inflation. Yeah, exactly.
The same year-on-year percentage change. Now, it's just very interesting. Oil price inflation now is as high as what it was in 2000, and food inflation is also of they've all peaked. And these are all year-on-year percentage changes. But, you know, food inflation a few months ago was the highest year-on-year change ever in history, which means that just statistically, that's highly unlikely to repeat itself. And the year-on-year percentage change in oil is also the highest since 1980. So we have both of them. The one's the highest in 40 years. The other one is the highest on record. So it is highly unlikely to repeat itself again over the next year.
No, it's not. I mean, just to give you some numbers, I've got some live numbers here. Screen flashing away here. Brent crude oil year on year up 68.43%. Natural gas up 204% year on year. That's the biggest move ever. If you just go down and have a look at some of the other ones, something like lithium, which everybody uses, obviously it's not a day-to-day thing, but it's in your phone, 431% higher, wheat up 58%, and so it goes on. I keep on back, cheese 45% up. I mean, Americans go out and they have breakfast and they eat cheese and they drink milk. Milk up 43%. But as you say, it has to keep on going in order to maintain these sort of 8% levels that we've suddenly become used to.
Yeah, very much so. So it will moderate, but it just depends. You know, once you pass this big bump in the actual inflation numbers, then you've got to sit back and say, well, where is it going to settle? Because it's not going to settle at 8. We know that. But is it going to settle at 3 or is it going to settle at 5?
I think the latter.
That's truly – no, I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm just not sure about that.
I just think that with them bubbling under, I'm not sure that it's going to go much below 5, Wayne. And what I think, and one thing that we're certain of, is interest rates in the States are not going to go up to 5% to meet the 2. Because I've always said it's going to be top down and bottom up, and the 2 will meet in the middle somewhere. Where the middle is, I don't know. But there's no way that the US Federal Reserve is going to raise interest rates in the States to 4.5%, 5%. I can't see that happening. Otherwise, there'd be bedlam.
Surprisingly enough, I can see it happening. That on that particular one, I actually can see it happening. Because, I mean, we're forgetting about this simply because we haven't experienced it before. Inflation is the devil as far as the U.S. Federal Reserve is concerned.
Yes.
It is truly the devil.
But they will be the devil if the interest rates do go as high as you say they could go to. Because I don't think that risky asset classes will be able to cope with it.
No, they won't. If they do go up that high, and if inflation does settle at 5, and there's no reprieve on those inflation numbers, then ultimately there will be a major correction in financial markets. There's no doubt about that at all.
Yes, and maybe we've just seen the first wave of it with the Nasdaq going down 25% or something, and those lofty valuations getting pinned back a little bit. What about South Africa? Because South Africa has been spared. The JSE has been spared, and our inflation rate hasn't gone up a lot. But I think after the latest petrol price hike, there'll be a fairly more glamorous number next month. But what about retailers, for example? And the reason I mention that is a nice lead-in is the Spar Group came out with its numbers today, its 6 months numbers.
Yeah.
Share price was up 1.5% in early dealings, now down 1.5%. Can they pass it on? And if they can't pass it on, does that mean that
they can't.
And so their margins come down, in other words?
Margins must come under pressure. They will be able to pass some on, but they will not be able to pass all of the cost increases on. Hmm. So margins will come under pressure. There's no doubt at all about that.
Okay,
I mean, they needed, you know, a year or two ago, they needed a little bit of inflation into the system.
Yes.
But now there's too much food inflation.
Yeah, and if one breaks ranks and just says, okay, we can't afford this, we've got our stakeholders and shareholders to think of here and put prices up, then immediately that plays into the hands of someone like a ShopRite, which can doesn't want to, but maybe can afford to keep basics at a reasonable level for the man and woman in the South African street. And therefore, something like Spar, for example, or the company that raised its prices loses market share. I don't think anyone's going to do it.
Very much so. Look. At the end of the day, the quantum of the profits they'll make, even if margins come under pressure, just that your selling price is going up so dramatically, that even if your margin shrinks a little, you might still, you know, in nominal rand terms, actually make, you know, a similar sort of profit. You know, it's not guaranteed that your profit will decline, but your margin certainly will decline.
Yeah, okay. And do you hold retailers in your portfolio, Wayne?
Yes, we do. They've still got reasonable valuations on them, actually.
Okay, good.
But we hold, yes.
Okay. Banks had a horrible couple of days quite recently. And again, yes. The same story. I mean, banks and retailers, I don't see them as the same thing, but I see them as SA-centric. So, you know, if people are a bit bearish about South Africa, they go down. If they're bullish, they go up. And it was a couple of days ago when the banks had a horrible day and the financials fell quite sharply. But you're happy with those on a valuation basis anyway?
No, well, look, I mean, we did speak about this quite extensively. I thought they'd run too hard.
Yes.
You know, so there's some weakness was justified, but the weakness is limited because the rand's not collapsing around us. Mm. I've just got some data out here on U.S. consumer credit.
Okay.
Total U.S. consumer total credit outstanding as a percentage of GDP. It's at 19%. The peak's about 21-odd%. So even though there is debt in the system, it's not that dramatic. You know, it's nothing like the debt that was in the system in 2008, et cetera.
And that includes everything, so banks, credit cards, the whole lot.
No, this is just consumer debt.
Okay.
Only consumer debt. Mm. It doesn't look too dramatic, which I think will be one of the saving graces. And certainly the financial system hasn't got much debt in it either. You know, like compared to 2008. But make no mistake, if inflation settles at 5, there'll be a recession.
Yeah.
And then you'll have proper stagflation. So if inflation settles at 5, and which I think they will, the Federal Reserve Bank raises interest rates to 5%. But of course, if inflation settles at 5, the long bond's going to 5. And that's got nothing to do with the Fed. You know, and the long bond rate is ultimately more important than shorter rates. So if inflation settles at 5, we're in deep trouble because we will go. Then the stock market not only comes under rating pressure, then it comes under falling earnings pressure as well. So then that will be an absolute normal correction, bear market collapse, whatever you want to call it. And that will probably be in the region of 40 to 50% fall in the markets in total. But I mean, you know, I know that sounds dramatic.
Yes, it
but
does.
But this happens every 10 years. It happens every 10, 12 years. It's actually not that unusual. So, you know, we are in for market weakness and some more market weakness, but I don't think it's going to settle at 5. I think there are very unusual factors now pushing this inflation, of which the biggest is the war, but the second one is also the supply chain logistics and the generally, the underlying worrying one is wage inflation. I mean, America's at absolute full employment.
3.6%.
And people want to earn more money because they can. They can demand more money. But, I mean, that soon dissipates if you go into a recession, eh? Because then there's not more jobs than people.
Yeah, but it's very interesting because the jobs numbers that have recently been released, I think it was on Friday, wage inflation had risen to 5.2% year on year.
Yes.
Which is the highest number I've seen for quite
which
a while. I can remember.
That's very high.
Yeah, it is. It's not as high as inflation, so people are still, in real terms, not as well off as they were.
Worse off, yeah.
On the other hand, 5.2% is a big number. I can remember for years reporting on the jobs number and wage inflation was 2 to 2.5%. And now
that's the more normal level, yeah.
Yeah, suddenly double.
You must remember, Americans get, surprisingly enough, Americans get squeezed more than we do by the higher oil price, because there's no taxes in their petrol price. So if the oil price doubles, their pump price doubles. You know, whereas we've got 40% of our pump price is actually levies and taxes and et cetera, et cetera. So when the oil price doubles, our petrol price only goes up 50%, which is still terrible, but it's better than going up 100%. So Americans on the oil price feel the squeeze dramatically. But of course, you know, and we've also spoken about this on numerous occasions, there is no shortage of oil.
No.
There's a shortage of oil, getting it, the logistics around supplying oil, but there is actually no oil shortage. So ultimately, those logistics, the same as the logistic issues with the lockdown and the chip and all of these things, will ultimately be resolved. You know, and food inflation is also relatively unique because of Ukraine being a big supplier. But food inflation or food production is the one commodity where you get literally virtually an instantaneous supply reaction. Either prices high, you get more supply, or prices low, you get less supply. So, you know, it takes you a season to actually sort out your food supply issues. Because the food supply thing is not that much of a logistics thing. It's actually Ukraine can't export the food. They can't get it out. But, you know, if the price of food is up 60% year on year, every farmer has got probably 10 or 15% of his land that didn't make money last year. But because prices are up 60%, it's making money this year. You know, the marginal land, it's all being planted now. So well, the supply side response is actually very sharp. So agricultural, I would not be surprised if agricultural inflation in the middle of next year is minus 30%, not plus 60, I mean minus 30. And if oil, let's just say the oil logistics get sorted out, a more natural price for oil is probably around $60 to $70, not $120. Everyone still makes a lot of money at $60 or $70. That, to me, is a more natural price for oil. And if that happens, then the year-on-year change in oil is minus 50. You know, so you could be sitting in the middle of next year with inflation extremely low, you know, maybe even lower than the 3% that I think it's going to go to. Because, right. You know, what I've found in investments, especially in extreme circumstances, either prices up or prices down or high prices or low prices, is that people somehow start to think of that as the norm. It's not. It's actually the exception. So what we're going through now on inflation, especially food and oil inflation, is actually highly unusual. It's a true aberration. And that means it's very unlikely to repeat itself over the next year. But you get lots of people think it's going to simply because that's your current set of circumstances.
Well, you've been talking about food. Yeah, there's so many things to think about. And I hope you're right, Wayne. I really hope you're right. I hope it doesn't stick around. I hope it isn't sticky.
The markets are still going to fall, eh? Hmm. The markets are still going to fall because inflation's no longer zero.
No.
You know, it is a number higher than zero. So the markets will still fall, I think. But I think the downside is limited because I don't think inflation's going to settle at 5.
All right.
Which means interest rates don't have to settle at 5.
We shall continue to cover this on a weekly basis, Wayne. Now, what I want to cover, you went on something that I hadn't heard of before. It's called a business trip. Now, that is where you got on an aeroplane, and also you took your partner with you, so there was an element of leisure involved as well. It wasn't just business, but you went on a business trip to meet people. Now, that's something you haven't been able to say for the last couple of years.
For a very, very long time.
Yes, but anyway, you went there. But the thing that interests me most, apart from your excellent presentations and client meetings and things like that, is your food escapades and your helicopter trips.
So, unfortunately, didn't make the helicopter trip, and I'm not entirely sure why. We might have been, we just sort of didn't quite get around to it. But yes, some very good food experiences. But I must say, we stayed in the waterfront, right in the center of the waterfront.
Okay.
And other than being a little bit noisy when old people want to go to sleep at 9:30, I mean, it is truly a world-beating facility.
Yeah, it really
I doubt if there's many places like that in the world. I know that Cape Town came second in some survey, second only to Barcelona, about nice places to visit. And, I mean, it is truly a fantastic whole experience. So we went to many things. We went on a little boat ride around the harbor. We went to the aquarium. We walked through the food market. We walked through the craft market. And we had some fantastic meals. This hotel we stayed at, their breakfast, they had a thing called a harvest table, which is normally for weddings type of thing.
Yes.
But they had these three separate, it wasn't a buffet type setup. It was three separate, quite large wooden tables, but separate. And then each of the one would have cereals and fruit on, and the other one had all the cold meats and the salmon. And then the other one had cheese on and biscuits and preserves and jams. And it was totally fantastic.
Is that the table, the Table Bay, which is the yellow one? Is that where you stayed?
No. We actually stayed at the Victoria and Alfred Hotel, the one literally right next door to the, what's that big round thing that goes?
Oh, that's, it's not the most impressive one. It's quite small, actually. But yeah, I know what you mean.
No. It's quite small, but still, when you go up and you're near the top there, you know, you can still see a lot and you get the sensation of height.
So you've done the whole tourist thing.
It's not a merry-go-round, it's a carousel.
Yes.
Is it a carousel?
Yeah, it could be. And that was
actually great. So that was the hotel we stayed at. But then I went to a restaurant called Den Anker, I think, the Anker.
Den Anker, right, in the middle there. Yeah. It's a Dutch
right in the middle.
It's a Dutch restaurant.
Is it a Dutch one?
No, sorry, Belgian.
And
it's Belgian.
Belgian, yes. And I had their mussels.
Oh, yeah, here we go.
Which were two delicious, absolutely four words. I mean, and I think they were just done in a little bit of wine and garlic. It wasn't a curry-based sauce. But it was delicious, and then we had the genuine article Belgian waffles.
Mm.
You know, nice and thick, crispy on the outside with some cream and a little bit of syrup. And that was just delicious. And I know it's all touristy things, but actually had a great deal of fun.
Den Anker's great. It's in a lovely position. It's got good views and everything, and it's walkable from where you were. Yeah, I always like Den Anker. I normally go there just because it's got such a huge selection of Belgian beers, and I just sit there on the terrace and have a look out. But anyway, so apart from that, was there anything else? You didn't go out to your place where you had the prawn stroganoff or...
No, we didn't. We didn't go to the 12th, no. We didn't go to the 12 Apostles. But another one we did go to was, let's call it, still in the waterfront, but closer to the entrance. So where the bell tower is on that side.
Yeah.
There's the old grain silos, which have been converted into an hotel.
And also an art gallery as well. Yeah, a very, very prominent African art gallery, which is beautiful.
And it is beautiful. And we went there, and I had exotic mushroom pot stickers for lunch.
You mean like
little parcels,
like dumplings? Yeah.
Yes, but actually, I think these were deconstructed because they weren't actual dumplings. But my goodness, were they delicious! It was a starter thing. I wasn't terribly hungry because we just finished breakfast with a client. You know, business trips.
No, I don't. But anyway,
that was truly delicious. And you go up. I don't think they use the first 6 or 8 floors. I think it's 6 floors because they obviously want to go high to give you a view. So the hotel only starts on the 6th floor and then goes up, and then there's a rooftop bar, which unfortunately we didn't go to. But I must say our F&B building in Cape Town, which I think is the tallest building in Cape Town, on the top floor, it's the most magnificent views, I must say. We watched the sunset just before my presentation. And you had this view right over the harbour and the bay, and you could see the sun going down. I mean, it was truly a spectacular view.
And the F&B building is right opposite 91, isn't it? The old Investec Asset Management.
Yes, right next door. Yeah.
Exactly.
91's still there.
Yeah.
And I mean, I actually think our guys should think about renting out the top floor to a restaurateur, because that must be one of the most magnificent settings for views in Cape Town, because you're so high up.
That's a nice idea. Pop-up restaurant. It can't be permanent, obviously. It'd be too much disruption with delivery of goods and things. But, yeah, a pop-up restaurant might be a nice idea. Okay. So you had a good time?
No, it was fantastic. It was a lovely, lovely break. And it was nice to go into business. It was nice to see your clients again. It was nice to talk to people face-to-face. And we got a very nice, good turnout. And, you know, we had some snacks and some finger snacks and stuff afterwards. And lots of people stayed relatively late.
Mm-hmm.
A few of my colleagues stayed much later.
Mm-hmm.
And were slightly the worse for wear in the morning. But I did not join them.
Those weak people, I can't bear them. But you go to bed at 9:30, so it doesn't matter. Yeah, I mean, you have a strict regime. That's, that's why you're successful, Wayne, because you get a good night's sleep.
But 9:30, nines might even be late some evenings.
Like Spiro, exactly the same. He goes to bed at 9:15 every night. Anyway.
But Shapiro is older. But I mean, Shapiro is probably old.
Oh, he's ancient.
I'm amazed he can stay awake till 9:15.
I know. He's probably, before you know it, he'll be having his dinner at 4:30, going to bed at 6:30 and getting up at 4:00 in the morning.
Yeah.
Anyway. Wayne, thank you very much for your time. I'm glad you had a good time. And you've disturbed me somewhat with our conversation about markets falling, but c'est la vie. Wayne McCurry is from FNB Wealth and Investment in Johannesburg. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position or opinion of any other agency, organisation, employer or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.